Thank you, choir. I'm glad I'm here today. Good day to be in church, or this church. You know, when I look at this thing called life, for me, there are two things I have learned. One, life will give you what you're willing to settle for. If this is what you're willing to settle for way up here, this is what you get. If this is what you're willing to settle for, this is what you get. The choice is ours. The title, as you notice, the universe always says yes. It always says yes. And we can look at our lives in various areas and begin to understand what it is we have said yes to. And based upon that divinity within us, we've been given the power to uncreate any part of our life and to recreate any part of our life. Geno, this Greek, Zeno. You know, before I continue, I do have three requests because I realize at times someone's up droning on and on. We can feel the need to close our eyes and maybe take a little nap. I'm okay with that if you feel the need to go to sleep. But I do have three requests. Thank you. Say it again. First one is don't snore. What's the second? Don't drool. Very unbecoming. And the third, don't fall off your chair. You may wake up your neighbor. In order to learn something new, you've got to look at the beliefs and the error of your ways. And you've got to be willing to let go of some of those beliefs, some of those, the programming, the training that you've had. You've got to let go of the belief in luck, favoritism, that the universe is punishing you, that something or someone is putting these problems in your life to punish you. The problems we encounter in life, they're not here to punish us. They're here to wake us up. To wake us up to something greater within ourselves. To move us to the realization that we're a choice. We can say yes, or we can say no. Question for you this morning. Who among you can grow a flower? Who among you can cause it to bloom? Let me ask another question in regards to that. Because I know some of you are saying, hey, I can grow a plant. I can grow a flower. Give me the seed. Give me good dirt, plant food, sunshine, water, and I'll grow that baby. Who or what is within that plant that causes it to grow? Who or what takes a small embryo and grows it into a human being? Who or what grows the hair on your head? Who or what put all these planets in place without them crashing into one another? Who or what propels this planet at breathtaking speeds through the galaxy? Who or what causes the wind that we can't see but we can feel? Who or what is this invisible, unformed energy that we get to use and have been using, and many times without even realizing how we've been using it or misusing it. Because that who or what, that is the source and the sustenance of life. Of all life, bar none. That who or what is the answer to any problems that we may encounter in life. What do we call that who or what? Some people will call it God, some will call it Spirit, Brahma, Elohim, Yahweh, Ahaya, Shahai. Some will call it Buddha, some will call it Jesus. Some would call it Jesus Christ, and let me touch upon that, since you mentioned it. First, Christ is a title. It is not the man's last name. It is a title that was bestowed upon elevated consciousness of some individuals. There were ministers, some kings, some emperors, not everyone, but a few that were given that title also, the Enlightened One. A lot of things about the Bible people do not understand. They talk about it. Many times, unfortunately, they know not of what they speak. And I know it's a challenge with some individuals using the word God because of the damage that word has done throughout history. How it's been used to manipulate, to control other individuals. I don't know how many of you may be familiar with what is called the Nag Hammadi Library. Let me back up a minute. First of all, the Bible originally did not have chapters, did not have verses. One of the emperors in the 300th century gathered 12 of the religious leaders from the largest temples, synagogues, churches, etc., and said, listen, every church out there, every temple is using a different book they're calling the Bible. I want you 12 pick out what goes into what you think. Come back to me when you have it done. And I will outlaw all of the other so-called Bibles people are using. I will send my soldiers out to confiscate and destroy those books. Not everyone agreed with what was happening, so they began to hide what they could. One such was found in 1944 in the Nag Hammadi section of Egypt. It became known as the Nag Hammadi Scrolls. They were able to salvage and reproduce about 75% of it. You have the Book of Mary, the Book of Salvanus, the Gospel of Thomas, and others. When Jesus, the master teacher, was asked, where is heaven? Where's this place called heaven? And Jesus responded, if those who lead you say to you, the kingdom of heaven is in the sky, then the birds will precede you. If those who lead you tell you it is in the bottom of the ocean, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you and it is outside of you. People do not see it. He goes on to say, when you come to know yourselves, then you will become known and you will realize that it is you who are the sons and daughters of the living Father. But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who is that poverty.
fascinating works. In regard to the word God, and I know some people have an issue or a challenge with that, there's an excellent book. I'm sure it's out of print, because I read it 30, 40 years ago. The title, The Problem is God, by Alan Anderson. You could find it. It is a peach. The main premise, he said, if you don't like your God, fire your God. Choose another one. It's another book you might be interested in, by Maxwell Maltz. Psycho-Cybernetics. In that book, he talks about how the mind, the subconscious, can be programmed. It's a servo mechanism. It can go out and bring unto you that which you have programmed it to do. Let's talk a little bit about science of mind, since that is my background. Science of mind is basically a philosophy. It is a faith. It is a way of life. One of the students in one of the classes came up with the acronym MAP because of what we believe in: meditation, affirmation, and prayer, or principles, or spiritual laws. We all know that JC's philosophy can be summed up in 8 words. It is done unto you as you believe. That's the whole philosophy. But yet, so many of us, we've gotten away from that. Henry Ford, when one of his senior engineers came in and said, I don't think we can do what you want with this car. I think it's impossible to add this thing to it. And Henry Ford said, you're right. If you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you are right. We've all heard what the mind of man can conceive and believe the mind of man can achieve. Marcus Aurelius said, our life is what our thoughts make it. Beliefs are the drivers of our life, good, bad, or indifferent. You see, the universe doesn't matter to it. It was made to support us, and support us it does, based upon the beliefs, the thoughts that we put into it. It doesn't judge. It just does. In essence, the universe is saying, I'm not here to judge you. If you believe, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. The universe's role and job is to bring experiences into your life that validate that belief. Am I making sense with this? And it does. The universe always says yes. Let me give you a brief experience. When I was still living in New York back in 72, 73, at a friend's house, and there were 5 or 6 of us watching the playoffs, basketball. During halftime, I went to the window. We were up on the 3rd floor. I looked out. Bam! This gorgeous 1972 Monte Carlo. Contemporary design. Cream top. Goldish colored body. And I said, wow, I love that. That's for me. That is my next goal. A couple of guys came out, man, what are you so excited about? I said, man, you missed it. You should have seen that car. Beautiful. Had no idea how it was going to come. That was not my job. That was the job of the universe. I defined it. Didn't outline. That's the universe's job. Next year, May Company had hired me, flew out, they put put me up in the Hilton downtown. Went into work the first day in personnel with the vice president and director doing the paperwork. And he says, okay, let me help you get set up. Let's go look for an apartment. And I said, well, a bachelor's pad is fine because, as you know, I had negotiated where you would bring me out in two moves. First, me. My wife wanted to finish her semester, so you would bring her and the kids out after that was over. Fine. We went, found an apartment, said, okay, next, let's get you a car. I said, okay, Volkswagen. That's what I had in New York, and it was a fun car. I loved it. It was like a toy. We're driving down on Figueroa, and I think it was Washington. And across the street on the left-hand side, as he was getting ready to cross, huge car dealership. One, two, three, four rows of cars, pathways. In the middle, on a pedestal, was my car. I screamed, stop! That's it! He said, you wanted a Volkswagen. No, no, go there, go. I drove out with the car. You need the belief, you need the faith, and you need the energy. In fact, I think that Albert Einstein said it best. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. Your faith combined with the thought. Let me ask you this. Since thoughts define our life, how many thoughts does the average adult in this country have per day? Studies in psychology today, going back, I don't know, a couple of decades when I was reading them, 30 to 60,000 thoughts per day. How many thoughts do you think are positive? 75% of those thoughts that the average adult in this country has per day are negative. 25% are positive. 97% of those thoughts are the same old thoughts we had the day before. And we wonder, why does this keep happening to me? In fact, many times we don't even know or believe or understand what our thoughts are, what our beliefs are, or which of those thoughts are driving our life. Let me give you an example. Some time ago, there was this accident. Young couple. Skidded off the road, hit a tree, and they perished. Highway patrolman comes up, and he's walking around scratching his head, said, gee, I wonder what happened here? There are only skid marks from this car. A monkey walked out from the bushes, battered, bloody, bruised, and the monkey is shaking his head. The highway patrolman says, you understood what I said? Monkey does this. He said, were you in that car? Monkey does this. What were they doing? They were drinking. What else were they doing? They were smoking. What else were they doing? They were kissing. What were you doing? So sometimes we don't know what our thoughts are and the impact they have on our life. Now there's steps. In Isaiah 14:24, and these are spiritual laws. Straight out of Scripture. Isaiah 14:24, surely as I have thought, so that it shall come to pass, and as I have proposed, so shall it stand. There are many others, not enough time to tell them. Steps for accessing spiritual direction. First, recognition. If you don't recognize something, you can't use it. Nor will you have the knowledge as to how it can benefit and change your life. That first step is very trying. Second step is realization. It's realizing that it is something greater than knowledge, education, information that we pick up. You could say it's intuition. And the third step is reverence. Being able to commune quietly with the spiritual force is our way of becoming one with it. In fact, there's another excellent book, The Man Who Talks with Flowers. It's the story of Dr. George Washington Carver. How he would go out into the field or the woods. He would sit and meditate. Sometimes for hours. And he would ask the question, reveal your secrets to me as to how you can be used. And he was talking about the peanut. And as many of us know, he came up with over 100 ways that peanut could be used in cosmetics, paint, and a host of other areas. I'm going to leave you with this quote by the Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith, founding minister of Agape. They've grown to over 14,000 members. And I love what he had to say. Nothing is missing in you. Nothing is missing. That is the reality of who and what we are. He goes on to say, call it out now. Come on out, prosperity. Say that for me. Come on out, prosperity. Say it with feeling. Come on out, prosperity. Come on out, harmony. Come on out, health. Come on out, health. Come on out, health. Thank you. Come on out, brilliance. Come on out, divine joy. Come on out. And be part of our individual and collective consciousness. Come on out. But it has to be said. We need to live in the conviction, in my opinion, I am greater than my ills. Or, no, I don't like my ills. I am greater than the illness I am dealing with. I am greater than this poverty. I am greater than the chaos surrounding me. I am greater than the limiting conditions that I see surrounding me. I am greater than my circumstances. I am greater than this dis-ease. When you feel you're greater than the ills, those ills cannot long remain. Because what you inwardly feel, you realize, and what you realize, you bring forth into living expression. Try it. Don't take my word for any of this. Test drive it. And if it works, continue driving it. And if not, you can always change. Peace and blessings to you and yours.